Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications. Today, the Manitoba Cooperator's Alexis Stockford reveals why organic producers in Manitoba are upset about their crop insurance system.
MASC is saying, well, this program is already losing us money, so they might be a little reluctant to bump up those prices.
Jeremy Symes of the Western Producer reports on interesting research about February seeding in Alberta.
So when you seed super early, what you're doing is that seed is taking advantage of everything in the soil early on.
And Glacier Farm Media's Bruce Burnett fills us in on the markets.
If we're going to reduce the pulse area by 2 to 3 million acres, that area has to go somewhere.
All on Between the Rows with this week's host, Robert Arneson.
Hi, I'm Robert Arneson of the Western Producer. Welcome to another episode of Between the Rows. Spring, thankfully, is only 6 weeks away. So, on this week's show, we're looking at three topics related to spring seeding and the 2018 crop. We'll talk about acreage intentions for Western Canada, learn about research on early seeding in Alberta, and hear about organic growers who are frustrated by crop insurance programs in Manitoba. First up on the show, the price of organic milling wheat in Western Canada is around $23 a bushel. Yet, the corporation that manages crop insurance in Manitoba values organic red spring wheat at around $9.40 a bushel. Unfortunately, this sort of price gap applies to most organic crops, which is why Manitoba organic growers are unhappy and want something done about the problem. Here to talk about the situation is Alexis Stockford, a reporter with the Manitoba Cooperator in Brandon. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. So thanks for coming on the show. So maybe let's start with an overview. Can you explain what's going on here? Why are organic growers in Manitoba frustrated?
Sure. I think one of the important things to start with is the idea that none of these issues are really new. Everything that I've heard has kind of indicated that these are all kind of perennial issues. And like you kind of alluded to, one of the main issues that it has come up is the valuation of organic crops. And right now, Manitoba Agricultural Services Corporation is evaluating those crops, or wheat and oats anyway, at 1.5 times the conventional price, and flax at 2 times. And that 1.5 times is really the one that's getting everyone a little bit. And then at the same time, organic producers are basically saying that the insurance is very expensive for the amount of coverage that they're actually getting. And then the other issue that the Manitoba Organic Alliance would really like to see addressed is they'd like to see a couple more crops added to that list of insurable crops, because right now, only oats, wheat and flax are actually even able to be insured organically. And they're looking at the crops that their producers are actually growing, things like hemp and barley, that are kind of orphaned right now as far as organic insurance are concerned. And then on the other side, MASC has a list of its own issues with the program, number one being that they're actually losing money off of it. And then the all these issues have kind of resulted in a very small pool of producers who are actually accessing the program. The number that I've heard is that there's only 46 producers who are even signed up.
So I guess there's about 170 organic growers in Manitoba. So we're talking like maybe, I guess, a third or so, or just under a third of them are participating?
Yeah. And MASC is basically estimating that a third of producers are insuring with them in organic insurance. And then they're also saying that another third are actually accessing insurance conventionally. So they're growing organic crops, but they're insuring them conventionally because they figure that that's the best economic option for them.
So just looking at a crop like flax, for example, I mean, organic flax is valued at, what, $35 to $40 a bushel. You know, that's like 3 times, I think, the conventional price. Why doesn't the Manitoba crop insurer use that figure of like $35 a bushel?
Yeah, that's a question that has popped up in a lot of meetings between organic producers and MASC. And one of the big ones, I think, like the, basically MASC is saying that if they value them higher, then they're also going to have to raise the premiums. And producers are already arguing that the coverage that they're getting is not ideal for what they're paying for it already. And then, of course, I think the profitability also comes into it, where MASC is saying, well, this program is already losing us money, so they might be a little reluctant to bump up those prices.
So you mentioned that some organic growers are using like standard crop insurance. I mean, how would that work for them? How would that be better than the organic program?
Well, I guess it's less expensive for them is the big thing.
Okay.
The big risk as far as conventional insurance is that the organic insurance, of course, has a little bit more tolerance as far as weeds. And if a producer has to, you know, reseed or anything because of weed pressure, that's actually included in the organic insurance, as opposed to if they're insured conventionally, where that is not included in the coverage. But you know, economically, I know that there's a lot of organic producers who are looking at a field and they basically are saying, you know, if the field looks clean and they're feeling good about it, they'll just go conventional because it's less expensive.
Okay. So the perspective of the provincial crop insurer MASC is that this program really isn't working for them either.
Yeah. And I think that is an important point, because like, I think on both sides, everyone that I've talked to, the one thing that I've kind of taken out of it is, this is not working. And, yeah, the MASC is basically saying that a big part of why it's not working for them is that they need more data into this. They're saying that as far as organic crops are concerned, they don't have the same robust forecasting and price forecasting that they might have in conventional crops.
Right. So it sounds like it's kind of a size problem, with being the industry is such a scale of only 170 producers. Maybe it's difficult to create an insurance program for that kind of, I guess, scale of industry, right?
Yeah, I think that's valid.
Okay. So what are some of the possible solutions here? I know you were at a meeting in Brandon where this issue came up and it was debated. Did anybody propose any suggestions or ideas how to solve this problem?
Well, right now the Manitoba Organic Alliance and MASC are in conversation about this. They've created a joint working group to get some of these issues on the table and to see what they can do about them. And I know that group has had two meetings so far, and that there is another one on the horizon about that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Alexis. I've been speaking with Manitoba Cooperator reporter Alexis Stockford about farmers who are frustrated by organic crop insurance in Manitoba. Thanks for coming on the show, Alexis. I'm Robert Arneson, and you're listening to Between the Rows. Later on in the show, we'll talk about acreage projections for Western Canada. But up next, it's normal to get snow and below zero temperatures in late April and early May in Western Canada. That's why seeding a crop in the first 2 weeks of April, for most parts of the prairies, is considered early. However, University of Alberta research indicates it might be possible to seed a crop much earlier than the first week of April. Joining us to talk about the research is Jeremy Symes, a reporter with the Western Producer in Edmonton. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. So first off, can you tell us who is doing this research and what are they doing?
Sure. So it's Graham Collier out of the University of Alberta. And what they're looking to do is they want to see how early they could seed wheat in a way so that yield can be great down the line without actually killing the crop. And what they're doing is they are testing soil temperatures. So they're measuring the soil to see when it would be best to seed these winter wheats. And this includes, you know, cold-resistant wheat and varieties that aren't cold-resistant as well. And so by doing that, they actually seeded in Lethbridge in mid-February, and then they seeded up here in Edmonton in mid-March, just based on the soil temperature. Now, they also have test plots in Saskatchewan as well. And they're not saying seed this early now because they still have a lot more work to do. But yeah, it's really interesting to see that, you know, that their results are showing really great so far by seeding really, really early, even when the snow comes after those months.
So let's just back up a bit. The person conducting this research is who again? It's Grant Collier. And who is he? Is he a student or is he a postdoc person at the University of Alberta? Like, who is he?
Yeah, really good question. So he's doing his PhD research on this topic. He's leading it, but yeah, he's a student doing his PhD on it.
Oh, I see. Okay, thanks for that. So I guess the question that comes to my mind is that, you know, it's February right now, and it's pretty chilly here on the prairies, at least in Manitoba. Why would anybody want to seed wheat in February or early March? Like, what would be the reason to do that?
Right. Well, if the soil is warm enough, obviously, they would want to do it because our climate is changing. This is what Collier is saying. You know, overall, the growing season is getting longer. Days are getting drier. And it's getting warmer, and we're not going to have as much consistent rainfall as well. So when you seed super early, what you're doing is that seed is taking advantage of everything in the soil early on. It's going to grow earlier than all the weeds, so it's going to outcompete the weeds. And then once it's out too, it's going to take advantage of sunshine longer, so you're just going to get a more healthy crop, and it's not going to be fighting with weeds all the time. And then as well, if you have really great soil, it'll take advantage of that moisture and not be so reliant on all the rainfall that does come after. So that's basically why someone would want to seed a lot earlier now.
Okay. So just, again, explain to me or repeat what you said earlier for my understanding that these are unusual, different kind of wheat varieties. They have like special cold tolerance, or can you talk about what kind of wheat they're using for this experiment?
Sure. So they have, cold resistant varieties. So I guess those varieties you can get that will already do well in colder temperatures. And then you have their winter varieties, but they have spring type characteristics. So they are meant for, I guess, seeding for winter wheat or things like that. But then they have the hard spring type characteristics, or just those kinds of things.
So far the results look promising. Can you just talk about some of the early results? What have the researchers learned so far?
For sure. So yeah, they're saying things are looking really well so far. I don't have any kind of specific numbers in terms of how much yield or that stuff, because it's still really early to say, just because it's so preliminary. But what they're saying, I guess, so far is that, you know, when they were seeding in the range of 2 degrees Celsius to 6 degrees Celsius, that's when the crop did really, really well. What's also interesting is that, you know, after they seeded, air temperatures in Lethbridge, for example, went as low as 10 degrees Celsius, and then there was a total of 37 nights where it was below 0 degrees Celsius, like the air temperatures. And the seed still thrives just as long as the soil was warm enough, because there's such a huge difference between soil temperature and air temperature, as they were explaining. So even if it was cold outside, they still did well.
So where did you hear about this research? Where did he present this information on what he's doing?
Right. So I was at the Cereals Innovation Symposium, and that was in Red Deer. And the Alberta Wheat Commission was actually hosting it, and it was just one of the topics that was brought up.
Okay.
And I thought it was super interesting, so I wanted to write something about it.
And what was the reaction of the people there in the crowd, the growers? Were they kind of scratching their head to this concept, or was there some interest in this idea?
I think there's some, there was some were definitely kind of antsy about it. Like when he mentioned the mid-February or the mid-March, a lot of them were like, look at each other and just be like, what? This is really strange. But Graham was super great. He's like, no, like this, I just want to show you it's actually doing really good stuff. So yeah, I think a lot of people were, scratching their heads, intrigued. I was definitely intrigued. And I think Graham himself was a little surprised that things were going so well, too. And what's even more is The varieties that don't have cold resistance, so just your typical varieties, are doing really well. So if that keeps up, this will be a lot easier for farmers to adopt, because they don't actually have to buy that cold resistant variety or anything like that.
So it sounds like this research is kind of based on the idea that climate is changing and producers will have to adjust. So does that mean that some organization, what organization is funding this research, some group that is concerned about climate change and what that means for food production?
I didn't notice that. I think it's primarily the University of Alberta. I know the Wheat Commission as well. And yeah, I think it's mostly public dollars or checkoff dollars.
Okay. So last one here. So do you get the sense that this is something that might actually happen in the future, that perhaps 10, 15 years down the road, that producers in Alberta might be seeding wheat in February or early March?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think so. I mean, as long as all the climate predictions hold true and that things become warmer and drier, and, you know, the fact that if Collar's research really pans out over time and they get solid results and they can actually get a great management package in place, and then the varieties that are easily to plant, the non-cold resistant, farmers can really pick that up. So, yeah, I mean, a farmer's always changing to their environment, and as our environment changes, obviously going forward, they can definitely take advantage of it. So, yeah, if it all pans out, definitely. You can definitely see farmers doing this.
All right. Well, thanks, Jeremy. I've been speaking with Jeremy Symes, reporter with The Western Producer. Jeremy recently wrote about research from the University of Alberta studying the possibility of seeding wheat in February or March. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I'm Robert Arneson, and this is Between the Rows. It's February, and the season of predicting crop acreage is now in full swing. Agriculture Canada is projecting more acres of canola and fewer acres of pulse crops for the prairies. Meanwhile, the world may have a record stockpile of wheat. Here to make sense of it all is Bruce Burnett, Glacier Farm Media Director of Markets and Weather Information. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on the show. So I guess, first of all, why don't we start globally? Can you talk about the situation with global wheat stocks? What's the situation there?
Well, certainly we've seen another bump up in the world wheat stocks, and this is a trend from the past 5 years, essentially, where we're seeing increasing amounts of wheat being produced, and then in terms of the carryouts, also increasing. So the ending stocks are getting larger. The FAO just released some numbers. Again, they do numbers much like USDA in terms of production and consumption, and they have are also showing our record wheat ending stocks, just slightly under 270 million tons. So pretty substantial carry out there. It doesn't differ substantially from the USDA. They're at 268 million tons. So a couple million tons in a global crop that's well over 700 million tons doesn't mean much.
So is wheat kind of the big story globally in terms of production and stocks, or what in your mind is kind of the dominant theme right now?
I think the dominant theme in the global markets is still oilseed demand and where oilseed supplies are going to come from. And I think we still see that certainly not only in canola prices, but also soybean prices. The market is monitoring this very, very closely. And again, the key driver to that is demand from China, essentially, but also demand from other parts of the world. So we're seeing this big demand meeting an ever-growing supply of soybeans and other oilseeds. So that's, I think, the chief driver. On the other hand, the cereal crops, wheat, corn especially, we're still seeing very large surpluses there, and that has depressed prices. Corn has been trading in a very narrow range here for most of this year. Wheat, after the blip during the drought in the northern plains of the U.S. and southern Canada, the southern Canadian prairies, really after that blip, we've moved down and we're again trading in a fairly limited range.
So just moving this conversation to Canada, as you know, Agriculture Canada came up with some of its own outlook and projection for acreage here. And I guess one of the big headlines was that pulse acres are expected to drop significantly. Can you just explain what's going on here? What is the principal driver of all this?
Well, certainly there's no surprise in that. After India announced the tariffs, first on field peas and then on lentils and chickpeas even, prices dropped in the prairies quite dramatically. So now we're looking at prices for red lentils in the 16, 17 cent a pound range, which is, I guess, sort of more normal if you look back five years or longer, but not the types of prices that farmers have been expecting. So if you recall, a couple of years ago, we planted more than 10 million acres of pulse crops because demand was very strong and prices were very high. And now we've come off of that. We've produced two large crops in a row, although last year's was limited by the drought somewhat and a lower area. But with the lower prices here, the most analysts expect this area to drop. And I would say a lot of people are in this 2 to 3 million acre range in terms of dropping area. And of course, that area is not likely to go unplanted. It's got to go to other right. crops.
So just on the India situation, just so you can help me out understand this. So are you expecting this to persist, these tariffs, or what is the thinking around all of this?
I would expect it to persist, especially as long as supplies in India remain adequate for feeding the population. The government, a number of state governments have elections this year, and then next year we see a federal election in India. Farmers are a fairly big constituency, especially of the current government there. So I would foresee them trying to protect farmers by increasing domestic prices, which is what this policy, I think, is all about.
Right. So Agriculture Canada is predicting a jump in canola acres, but we had a huge acreage last year. And so is it actually possible to get more canola acres out there? Is that something that you think is actually going to happen?
Yes, certainly. And again, if we're going to reduce the pulse area by 2 to 3 million acres, that area has to go somewhere. The most profitable crop, I would say, as an alternative would be the oilseeds. So be it soybeans, be it canola, be it flax even, those crops would be more profitable to grow. Unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, depending on how you look at it, part of our pulse growing area, especially the lentil area, is mostly located in the south, and we've gone through a big drought, and planting oil seeds are probably not on the top of the mind of producers in those areas, just because there's going to be substantial risk unless we get good rains this spring. So in those areas, I would suspect we're going to see more durum area, more spring wheat area, just to move away from maybe some drought risk this summer. But we'll see how that turns out. If we get some rains early in the spring, certainly you could see increased area in the south as well for the canola.
Okay. So just shifting to soybeans here, obviously there was, I think, about 850,000 acres of soybeans grown in Saskatchewan last year. But from what I've heard, yields were very poor. Some yield averages perhaps in the mid-20s, you know, which is not great. So obviously Manitoba yields are more like in the 35 to 40 range. Do you think Saskatchewan growers will give soybeans another shot after a difficult year?
I think we'll probably see, again, farmers trying again soybeans. The low yields were primarily due to the southern areas, which were experiencing drought. And I think, again, the yields in those areas, even for soybeans, surprised some farmers. They expected to get a lot less than they did. Same thing in Manitoba. We did see some lower yields this past year. The low yields were concentrated maybe in our higher yielding soybean areas in the central and eastern parts of the province. So those areas, we might see some cutback on the area. But in western areas of Manitoba, I would expect to see again an increase in area at the expense of some canola and wheat acreage.
Okay. And finally, so we talked earlier about, you know, global wheat stocks being really high right now. What's that going to mean for wheat growers in Western Canada? Are they going to just have to suffer through a year of low prices, or what's the consequence here?
Well,
A lot of this is still going to depend on the weather. If you look at what's been happening in the international market, the low prices are especially for some very low protein wheats. The mid to higher protein wheats, which we have here in Western Canada, prices have not been that bad. I know farmers are disappointed in them, but relatively speaking, that market has held up fairly well. We still have some very dry conditions down in the U.S. plains. The northern plains of the U.S. is also under drought, and our southern growing areas in Western Canada have very droughty conditions as well right now. So unless we see the weather turn around there, I think the wheat markets will see some support from some of this weather, but only for that specific mid to high protein levels rather than the low protein levels.
Thanks, Bruce. Bruce Burnett is a director of markets and weather information with Glacier Farm Media. That's it for today's show, the second one of February. Hopefully, spring seeding is just around the corner. I'm Robert Arneson of the Western Producer. Thanks for listening.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.